Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how, through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's Neighbors of Hope's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. I'm Pastor Stephen Palmer, Executive Director of Neighbors of Hope, and we are with the men at our men's ministry center. Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Good.
Yeah. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed?
Half of that.
Half that? Bright-eyed or bushy-tailed? Right. All right, gentlemen, here's a question I have for you. All right. What is it you want most in the world? Most out of your life? What is it human beings want most? What's our deepest desire?
Be happy.
Don't worry. Be happy.
Acceptance.
A legacy. A legacy. All right, that's not bad. Huh? You got anything?
Happiness. Love.
Love. Okay.
I said it. Acceptance.
Acceptance. Yeah. All right. Anybody else?
I have to go with happiness, being content, and having enough money to get by with.
Okay. All right. Well, those are pretty good answers. I think you're all wrong.
Yeah.
It was a setup. All right. I think what we desire most is also what we fear the most. And that's freedom. Freedom from the lust for whatever, right? Even freedom from the pursuit of happiness. The freedom to be content no matter what I have. Go ahead.
That's asking a lot.
It is.
You're never going to be free.
Well, I
don't know how you can do it.
Well, I may beg to differ a little bit. We'll explore this a little bit, but yeah, I agree with it, and that might be why we don't really pursue it or accept it or anything else. Which then, you know, are we really afraid to be free? What would you do if you were free? Now, let's give a little definition here. Oftentimes, we think of freedom as the absence of restraint. So you're here at the Men's Ministry Center, Neighbors of Hope, right? How free are you after 6 o'clock p.m.?
Not
me. Meaning we here at Neighbors of Hope Men's Ministry Center, we have a 6 o'clock curfew, right? Unless you're working or you got some other court-ordered programming or something like that. But nonetheless, for the most part, there's a curfew, right? So you may think like, well, I'm not really free here, right? Because somehow or another, that restraint bothers you. So we tend to connect freedom with the absence of restraint, right? You ever been in a relationship and your significant other tells you what you can and cannot do? Right? All those type of things?
Yeah,
you know, they used to have it, you know, before a wedding or something, the old ball and chain, right? Like, you're shackled up, there goes your freedom, all right? But I don't think that's kind of the spiritual, it's definitely not the biblical interpretation of freedom, right? So let me pull up a little scripture here. Paul writes to the people in Galatians, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." I'm going to skip down quite a bit, and I'll come back and touch on some of those. All right. Get down to verse 13. "For you were called to freedom. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. In the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Oh, it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. So part of my argument over there is you're already free. I don't think we I don't think we enliven that statement very well. Between the first verse and that 13th that I read, Paul talks a lot about circumcision. So he's talking about the law, right? The Mosaic Law, which by the time this comes around, those Ten Commandments are now 613. And, you know, you got to be circumcised. You can only eat certain foods. You know, you can't work on this. You can't spit on a Saturday because your saliva may land upon a seed and the seed may sprout, and that's considered work. Right? And Paul says, no, those laws and everything, you're free from all that. Right? Now, what he's also saying is, that doesn't mean you have an absence of restraint, just that all of a sudden you're free in Christ, you can do whatever you want to be doing. Right? And quite frankly, we're seeing a lot of that even within Christianity in America these days. Somehow we're free to do whatever we want to do. And that's not what Paul is talking about at all. Right? But he would go on to say that, look at, if you're a good person, okay, we have a few with us, right, that have encountered the legal system. Right? And sometimes you get to thinking, well, why are we there? Because deep down inside, we know we're good people. But maybe we messed up. And from a legal perspective, it goes, well, yeah, you may be a good person, but you did a bad thing. Right? And you need to be held accountable for those type of things. Because Paul's argument is, look, if you're doing good, if we're always doing good, do we really think we'll be encountered with the legal system? So if you're free, if you jump down to verse 13, you're free to serve others in love. And by love, we mean not some mushy emotional feeling. Agape in Greek would literally mean to will the good of the other. So if you're willing, you're living your life to will the good of the other, because you're free to do that. And my freedom is like, I'm just going to will your good, whether you take it, whether you like me for doing it, or I'm not doing it to get a response. I'm just giving it away. I'm free to give it away. What you do with it is on you. Right? I don't do it to manipulate anybody to get a certain response. I don't do it to get acceptance. Right? I don't do it to make me happy. I do it because I've encountered the power of what it means to be truly free. And by doing that, there's not many laws against doing good. Now, we can all come up with circumstances, events, histories, where people have done good things and they've been persecuted for it. There's plenty of that in the Bible as well. Okay, so I've kind of set the stage. Feedback. What are your thoughts? What do you think about your freedom?
It's a heavy backpack.
Excuse me?
It's a heavy backpack we wear.
How so?
Well, it's a constraint, but when we want to, we can take things out of it. If we are using the freedom as well, so we're carrying our own luggage to be labeled as free, but also held down by the freedom of the idea that you explained as well.
Okay, yeah, interesting, interesting. What if this idea of freedom was there is no backpack?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure we really go that far. And I think a lot of it is because we have a misunderstanding of what Paul's talking about. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Free. So Christ set us free from what?
Sin.
Who said what?
Sin.
Yeah, we can call it sin. But what often?
Eternal damnation.
Okay, yeah, we can throw them all out there. What is something that accompanies? Look, if my conscience is aware that I sin, more than likely I'm going to feel
guilt.
Huh?
Guilt.
Guilt. Maybe shame. Remorse, which actually remorse would be a good thing, right? So part of that freedom is that I can shake that off. Because it doesn't hold me back. I would say shame, things like shame and guilt are more of a backpack, more of luggage that I have to drag behind me, right? Yearning for whoever I have offended or hurt to forgive me so I can let go of my baggage. But more often not, we don't get that. Despite whatever our efforts are, right? So we're always dragging that around with us. Wouldn't it be great to have a life free of all that? Now, that's why precisely what Paul says. That means we've all, in a sense, sinned, right? We're all headed to hell, so to speak, right? But then what Jesus does is says, well, here, let me free you of all that. And then we go, well, how do I live without my guilt and my shame? I've never done that before. He says, well, this isn't an absence of restraint, that now I've taken all the negative things out of your life away from you, that you can just now go out there and do whatever you want. No, because with freedom comes a certain responsibility. And that's why I think when Paul jumps down to verse 13, that responsibility is, how do you serve others in love? Because if you've experienced the freedom Christ gave you by, in a sense, absolving you through mercy and grace of your own sin, guilt, shame, those type of things, why would you go out and hurt somebody? Why wouldn't you go out and share that with someone else? The freedom to serve others in love. The freedom to serve others by willing their good. And that's where Jesus, in Matthew's gospel, means, love your enemies. You don't have to like them, but you can still will their good. You have something you want to add? We've got a couple minutes.
He's not on that same line with the willing, the good and the love. And some, they have a hard time with that with themselves, with the love with themselves. And now it'd be difficult for them to will that to somebody else, their neighbor or friend or whoever. It'd be difficult. So that would be something that would have to dig in deep somehow and find a way to get to that part in your mind that you are lovable.
Yeah.
Someone does love you.
Well, isn't that the major struggle, right? I mean, because on the surface, you go, okay, it's for freedom, Christ has set us free. All that theological, Christological stuff, right? And they go, yeah, but I don't love me. And for somehow, another reason, it seems like we're bigger than God. Well, there comes a point where we accept, you know what? God loves everybody. And that includes me. I'm not the only one that's done things in my life. I'm not the only one carrying guilt, shame, remorse. And I'm not the only one begging for forgiveness. And if I'm going to be honest, it's just the opposite. I'm not the only one that hates. I'm not the only one that wants to seek vengeance. I'm not the only one that doesn't want to forgive. Right? I mean, let's see ourselves truthfully all the way. And I think when we put it in that broader perspective, we realize I am lovable. And that's where we talk about how we forgive ourselves. But I think forgiving ourselves and loving ourselves, just, gentlemen, I think it boils down to one thing. Can you respect yourself? Because oftentimes in here, men will come to me and they'll give me their little story. I go, really? You want me to believe that? You want me to believe your lie? You want me to disrespect you at that level? I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. But you're absolutely right. Freedom can sometimes feel like a backpack. Yeah, and that's why I say I think it's what we desire most. but it's also what we fear most. Because if we're completely free, then what? I don't have to be dependent. On what the world tells me, sometimes even what the church tells me, right? Those type of things. And that's a very scary place because we've never been there before. And anytime something's new like that, that can make us very anxious. And next thing you know, we're afraid to be free. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you joining on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. Until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry and women and children's ministry, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our donation and recycling center, and this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.